Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Ed. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. If you want to watch the show on Facebook or YouTube, we live video stream there. Just type in Today's Issues. We also post the stories on our Facebook page that we're discussing here. And also we podcast, so download the podcast and listen anytime to Today's Issues or any of our programs here on American Family Radio. Steve Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are you?
It's a good day here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Going to have some storms this afternoon, I heard, here, and we lost our power already once today. But other than that, it's been a good day.
Yes, it has. How about your home state of California and those fires? Because of so much in the news, that's not getting attention.
It isn't. And I just took a look at that as we were coming on the air. So there are 5 active fires in California, the 2 biggest ones being the SCU Lightning Complex and the LNU Lightning Complex. By the way, Lightning Complex is when several fires that were started by lightning all merge into one. In any case, the 2 biggest ones are now somewhere between 60 and 63% contained. The CZU Lightning Complex from back where I was from is at 39% containment. So they're getting a hand on it. They had a little help over the weekend with some moisture up in the mountains where the fires are burning. So I'm confident that at least the 65% or the 29 or 30% that is under control in that fire is the 29 or 30% that's right in front of neighborhoods. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just know once those things get out of control, they're out of control.
Yeah, right.
And I guess the wind's blowing and the dryness and all that.
All of it contributes.
You ever see some of the images of how fast those things spread with high winds? They just jump. You know, they'll jump highways. Yeah. And, I mean, it's just incredible, the power of these firestorms.
We had 2 massive destructive fires in Colorado Springs back-to-back years when I was living there. And in one, I literally stood on the balcony at Focus on the Family where I was working at the time and watched the fire race down the mountain into the Mountain Shadows community there in Colorado Springs, took out dozens and dozens of homes, some of people that I knew. And you're right, Ed, it goes so fast. In fact, I remember looking up at the top of the range, a mountain range, and there was a fire tornado that was going. It was literally a tornado made of fire because of the weather and the wind that the fire produces.
You ever see some of the video of people who are fleeing these fires and they get a late start or whatever, and they're literally driving down these roads with fire on either side, and you just sitting there. Obviously the video gets out, but you go, wow, this is, how do they make it out alive?
It's scary stuff.
Very scary.
All right, Steve, what's your first story?
Well, in the streets they are chanting again, and I want to play for you a cut. This is from the streets of Tehran. We've seen this before, cut 9. Death to America, if you can't hear it. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Tehran? That was Oakland, California, over the weekend.
What?
That was Oakland, California.
I was wondering why we're playing something from Tehran. There were people. Now, how big a crowd was that?
Well, judging by the video, it was hundreds at least. And the video didn't show all of them, but
death to America.
Yeah.
Well, they don't. I went on my Marxist rant. I went on my rant about Marxism.
Yeah, he did that last hour a couple times.
Yes, that's right.
So you go ahead, Ed.
But when they say death to America, they don't really mean death to America in terms of the life they're living. They are talking about who runs America. That's what they mean.
I submit to you that actually they may mean the former as well, Ed, because as we've heard, and I was looking a little bit for this last hour, I couldn't find the exact quote, but what we keep hearing is that anarchists and some of these Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Black Bloc people want to sow anarchy and completely tear down the country so that they can rebuild it with socialism or communism. That's what I believe. That's what we're seeing.
Well, I don't disagree with that. But what I'm saying is they want to tear America down and still be able to go to Pizza Hut on Friday. That's what I'm saying. They still want to watch. They still want to binge watch their shows on their streaming service. They still want to watch the NBA playoffs and the NFL season, but they want to, quote unquote, tear down America and rebuild it. That's all I'm saying. They want there to be grocery stores, and they don't seem to realize that if you really do sow anarchy, none of that exists anymore.
Or socialism, by the way.
Yeah. All right, I'm not going to go on any more rants today. So
no, go ahead. I'm texting somebody.
All right, Steve, what else? So that was Oakland's death to America.
That was protesters in Oakland saying
you
death
made your
to
mom
America.
Proud.
Yeah, right.
You Marxist.
I know you guys touched
commies.
I know you guys. My turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
I knew you guys touched a little bit on polls, the Biden polls last hour, but I have some numbers I want to share with you, if I may. This is after the, since the Democrat convention and the Republican convention, this is what we're seeing. We are seeing Democrats flee and Republicans start to ascend. This is a poll by Democracy Institute that in the national popular vote right now, Trump would get 48% of the vote. 48% of the people say they're supporting Trump, 45% for Biden. It's 49-42 in Trump's favor in the battleground states. There's one poll that has a 10-point difference nationally. This is the YouGov America poll. And the betting odds, for those of you who might be betting... and the reason that I bring up the betting odds is because this isn't, you know, when people start playing with their money, they're not being political about it. They just want the money. Biden, 50.6%, Trump, 49.1%. It's a neck and neck, according to Las Vegas. It is getting very, very close.
But now you
said
in our story meeting that that is a dramatic shift from, what, 30 days ago, 60 days ago? What?
It was.
What Las Vegas was saying?
Yeah.
Was like 60% Biden?
Biden was leading 61-37 just a month ago.
A month ago. In one month.
In one
it
month.
Is narrowed so that it's neck and neck.
And by the way, he's picking up. He's now, I believe, somewhere north of 20% of the black vote.
24 point something
percent. Of the African American vote.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Where are y'all getting this from?
From polls, Tim.
From the internet.
From that, Ed calls it that their internet.
That their internet.
Cite me the poll.
I was, you know,
they did in the story meeting this morning. So
I was looking for that. I think I left that one piece of paper back on my desk.
Let me just say this about the polls. We all kind of expected it to narrow. And so I at least am happy. Now, this is not a Republican Democrat thing in my mind. This is a conservative constitutional Christian thing and a Marxist God-hating, you know, regressive thing on the other. But I'm glad to see the numbers narrowing. I still am not sure what's going to happen on November 3rd. My opinion still is right now 50-50. Although Fred, when we've talked to him, he believes the president will be reelected in a blowout, a landslide. But
I'm cautiously optimistic about it.
I'm still 50-50 right now. But when it comes to this country, I'm a little bit on the pessimistic side anyway. So
because
of all the Marxists.
Here's another. I got two more indicators, or one indicator and one reason why this might be happening. The indicator, C-SPAN, you know how when they're doing their programming between you know, hearings and speeches and everything, they have call-ins, and they have a line for Republicans, a line for Democrats, and a line for independents.
But they're social distanced.
They are. And they take them in turn. Well, I found a montage that was 8 minutes long, although I'm only going to play 30 seconds of it, of people saying, this is the Democrat line that's speaking. Listen to cut six.
I'm a lifelong Democrat. My family comes from the Kennedy Democrats, and I will be voting for Trump this election.
We're from Massachusetts, and we were lifelong, and my parents were Democrats, but we're not anymore. We're Republicans.
I've been a registered Democrat for many years, and this is, I'm done. I'm ready. I need a change.
I've been in the Democratic Party for a long time and see the way that the direction of the country is headed, and I see it going a different way with the Joe Biden potential.
God bless Donald Trump. I used to be a Democrat until I didn't vote for Donald Trump in 2016, but after they attacked him so brutally, I've switched completely. I am now Republican, voting Republican all the way.
Person after person after person.
It was 8 minutes of that?
There was 8 minutes of that.
That's pretty stunning, and I got to tell you, that's the kind of thing you wonder if that's showing up in the polls.
Yeah, well, the movement in the polls, even if you, whatever you believe about the polls, I'm just telling you what they say. And the movement in the polls, because I look at this almost daily, the movement in the polls have been in Trump's favor the last week or two.
Right.
Now, not that he's caught Joe Biden. I think most polls and average, which with Joe Biden still up nationally, 5, 6, 7 points. Again, folks, don't text me and write me and say, yeah, but that's if you, I know I'm saying if you believe the polls.
Right.
I'm not saying they're accurate. I'm telling you what they say. Now, but what Steve is saying, now that doesn't account for the polls in the swing states, by the way, which are closer than 6 or 7%
in
most cases. They're even or Biden slightly up or Trump slightly up, depending on what state you're talking about. But what you're discussing here, Steve, is a poll put out by who now?
Well, I cited several. Which
but
one?
One that shows Trump up nationally.
Democracy Institute.
All right. Well, that would be against every other poll that I've seen. Yep. Every other poll that I've seen has Biden up nationally like 5, 6, 7 points, something like that. You guys seen the same thing?
Yeah.
So
it's getting closer. I saw one of those graphs where the red and the blue lines are, you know, the approval or the favor, and they are almost intersected again. It's very, very
well,
close.
Well, listen, President Trump had he had a good thing going before the coronavirus hit America. And the economy was soaring, and it was almost guaranteed that he was going to win win re-election. And then the coronavirus or COVID-19 hit, and that changed everything because the economy started hemorrhaging.
Right.
Because we shut down America to stop the spread of the virus. Remember that? So now the economy's coming back. And also, you got that. President Trump's got that going for him. And he's got, I think he's disciplined himself more on how to handle the COVID response. Remember he was doing those press conferences back in May every day? And we were all getting tired of it. We were all getting tired of them. And I think he was getting tired of them.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he began to get in these petty arguments with people.
Right.
And they began to be very unproductive. And I think a lot of people saw that as not presidential. So he and his advisors, I guess, figured out, you know, we need to stop doing this every day. This is not helping. This is not working. And so it became more disciplined. Did the president basically let the vice president handle this?
Yeah.
And he would talk every once in a while about it and what was being done. And then he, you know, he is saying that there's going to be a vaccine coming.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that whole discussion there, vaccine. But I'm just saying there's a more positive vibe on both the virus and the economy than there was even a month or two ago. That was dragging down President Trump's numbers. And I think those things are abating. You're seeing, and then you've got what's happening with all the violence and chaos and rioting and looting. in the big cities, and a lot of people are saying, I don't want that to happen to my hometown.
Right.
So, and Biden's not saying anything about it. He's like, doesn't care. And Trump is saying, we need to stop this. So they're saying, I'm on the side of law and order. So all those things are combining to help President Trump, I think, draw closer to Biden in the polls.
Yeah.
One more soundbite, if I could, to illustrate maybe why black voters are going towards Trump. Play. This is Tiffany Cross, who's a substitute anchor for Joy Reid on MSNBC. I want you to hear what she said. First, you're going to hear Herschel Walker and then Tim Scott, both from the Republican convention. Then you're going to hear Tiffany Cross. Cut four.
Growing up in the Deep South, I've seen racism up close. I know what it is, and it isn't Donald Trump.
Our family went from cotton to Congress in one lifetime. And that's why I believe the next American century can be better than the last.
That was not a Saturday Night Live sketch. Welcome back to AM Joy. I'm Tiffany Cross. If you watched the Republican National Convention last week, you'd almost think that the Republican Party is the one welcoming people of color, given the big display of diversity. The convention featured more than a dozen African-American speakers alone. I watched the Republican convention, and seeing the slew of black speakers that they had, it really did look like a modern-day minstrel show to me.
Who was that?
That was Tiffany Cross, who was a guest anchor on MSNBC's Joy Reid Show.
So what she was saying was all the black speakers at the Republican National Convention were
figuratively white people in blackface.
Yeah, that's
insulting to say the least.
Yeah,
to say the least. Why would you do something like that? Why would you say something like that? Well, why can't you just say these are black people that disagree with that I disagree
well,
with?
Well, because you have to invalidate them. Because if you allow that real black people can be conservative and supporters of Donald Trump, then you cannot put forth the idea that all black people support the Democratic Party. So you've got to invalidate those people somehow, those black speakers. You've got to be able to say they're not really black.
But why does it matter to them? Why didn't this lady just say, hey, these are black people who spoke at the Republican convention and they're conservative?
They don't want to give black people a chance to think that through.
Yeah, I just don't. Her argument is that those black people are not smart enough or are being used or whatever the case may be to know what's good for them. I think that's the argument the implicit argument she's making. They've been hoodwinked or.
Those are some pretty smart people.
Yes.
Tim
Scott.
A lot of them.
Herschel
Walker. There were many up there. You know, the irony is here, had they not had African-American voices speaking at the Republican National Convention, then this woman would have said, see, well, they were all white people.
Yes.
They didn't have any black folks at their convention speaking because they're only white people allowed. That's what she would have said. So you can't win.
Yeah. You can, in her mind, you can have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. If President Trump got 15% to 20% of the black folks in America to vote for him, that would rattle the political world.
Yes.
I don't know if that's attainable or not. What did President Trump get in 16? Do you know, Steve?
It was in the teens, I believe.
13%.
Somewhere in there.
Something like that. That's probably about average.
President Bush, W. Bush, did very well with the African-American vote.
You know, the Latinos are...
And the Latino vote, yes.
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but Latinos are the largest minority in America today.
And socially very conservative.
Yeah. Well, most of them are Catholics. Mm-hmm. So they're well, it depends on what issue you're talking about. But yeah, but socially on life and family and religion, they would be very conservative, most of them. Talking about Latino folks and voters. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Are you looking up the...
Yeah, 8% of black voters voted for Donald Trump in 2016.
I thought it was more.
I think the teen percentage you're getting there, Steve, is males.
Or Hispanics. I might have been thinking of the Hispanic vote. Does it say what that is, Ed?
No. This was just, these are the articles about the black vote.
Yeah. But if he were to get 12 to 15, that would be, you know. So you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Steve.
A couple interesting statistics about the coronavirus. A study out of the prison systems in Arkansas, North Carolina, Ohio, and Virginia. They tested more than 3,200 inmates. 96% who tested positive had no symptoms. Another study that finds that 90% of people who are infected have so little infection in them that they are not contagious. That which would change the equation dramatically if we're looking at all these positive tests of people that were infected, if in the 90s of them are either are so low that they're not infecting anybody and are asymptomatic, we've been doing an awful lot of protection for very little danger.
I think as all this unspools, as all this unspools in terms of the coronavirus, as it eventually, you know, becomes a thing in our past, I think statistics and studies are going to reveal more and more, like what Steve is saying. I think we are going to come to the realization that as a country, and not just this country, the whole world, really overreacted to this. Now, again, the people, some of us listening, know people who have had the COVID. We've all kind of heard of people who have died. I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying we're going to find out that we overreacted and could have done something differently, maybe even improve the situation for those who actually wound up getting it.
Yeah, can I offer an opinion on that?
Sure.
Minus the control of the people scenario, which a lot of people lay forth as to what happened here. By that I mean to give people like President Trump and others the benefit of the doubt. This was a new virus,
right,
that was hitting the world, and we didn't know exactly how to deal with it. So a lot of what everybody was doing was learning as we go.
Yeah.
So, and when you do that and you say then you're subject to second guessing. So now everybody goes, well, President Trump and others shouldn't have shut down the country as we did.
Yeah.
Well, now we know that.
Right.
Perhaps. Huh?
Well, that's valid.
But at the time when you're in real time having in your white coats are coming into your Oval Office when you're used to talking to business people and government officials, and you're seeing what's happening in Italy, the people they're dropping like flies.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That's valid.
Then you're going, and these scientists are coming in telling President Trump the million people are going to die if you don't do this by tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying?
And no, that's true.
And he's, so, I mean.
Brand new thing.
I'm just saying, yes, we to your point, we'll all learn from this, and we're learning from this, and we're seeing the overreaction of a lot of liberal mayors and governors.
Right.
And we're seeing it for what it is, control.
Yeah.
For no really good reason now, but I'm just saying not everything is, that's why I said minus the lot of people's conspiracy theories.
Right. Minus the Marxism.
Yeah.
So I brought it back in.
Yeah. I noticed how you did that. But, all right. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks for listening to AFR, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.